Y'all know what today is? It's leap day. It's leap day. Nothing ever happens different on leap day, so I'll leave that alone. But just thought it was kind of cool. But anyway, some food for thought. Our Lord is sharing some profound things in their teachings today, but even the liturgy wants to emphasize this distinction, right? Cursed is the man who trusts in human securities, in worldly things, in the resources that are found here below. And blessed is the one who roots their joy in the things that last, the things of heaven, the things that matter. I always get a kick out of the whole concept of life insurance. Insurance on your life. You know what it means? That you're going to die and someone else is going to get your money. That's life insurance. It's the only insurance that this broken world would like to offer us. Don't hold on to it too tight. Cursed the one who does that, who gets their heart so set on the things of earth. And blessed is the one who lifts up their heart to things that last. And as you listen to the way Jesus tells this story, I do think he's focusing on his contemporary, you could say, comfortable Jewish brothers and sisters, like our First World Catholic Church. A little comfortable. First, he addresses the poor man. And what I appreciate is this parable is not just for the wicked man, the rich man, the bad guy. It's actually first to affirm the poor man doesn't go to heaven because he's poor. He goes to heaven because he is rooted not in the things and promises of this world, but because even though this world is kind of spitting on him, even though he's not getting his way, he perseveres. I kind of picture Jesus telling the story. There was a poor man. Now Jesus, you know, had a friend, Mary, Martha, and whom? Lazarus. I think Lazarus was front row. And Jesus is saying, there was a poor man named Lazarus, my friend, who though he didn't have anything, kept his faith, persevered. You don't hear the story of the poor man robbing from the rich. You don't have the whole whatever. It's a man who accepted his fate and lived in love. He would have loved to get the scraps from the master's table, but instead he had the dogs licking his wounds to get something more from him, as if he could give any more. And he accepted, he trusted in the Father's will, he lived as best he could, and when he passed, because of his trust in God, he was rewarded. But then of course the wake up is for the comfortable, in the times of Jesus, the comfortable religious person. Look, this rich man, we don't even know his name. He didn't do anything wrong. He'd be the one saying, look, I haven't killed anybody. Sometimes when you try to encourage someone to go to confession, they're like, well, I don't know, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm a nice person. It's almost like God says, I can't do anything with that. The rich man kind of focused on the things of life. If he was doing, he was probably doing well competing with the Joneses. He probably paid his taxes. Probably showed up at the synagogue every Sunday. And yet our Lord is like, he was missing so much. Even if on the outside he was looking okay, dressed in his fine purple linens, on the inside, his heart was the wrong way. And in the times of Jesus, and for this poor gentleman, the focus of the times, maybe the idols of the time, were his wealth, his luxury, his self-indulgence. But we have our own, right? Our sensuality, our immediate gratification, our one-click sensuality, the stimulus. I want to have what I want to have now. I want Amazon to deliver it yesterday. And we get so impatient over what? Our career can be that idol. Our workaholism. I made one success, but I got to get to the next level, the higher level. It's just not enough. I don't have time for my faith. I don't have time for my family. I'm too busy getting this other idol taken care of. Dressing myself in my career. Adorning myself with that recognition. Or maybe that's the idol, my recognition. My esteem from other people, the appreciation I get. And man, when I don't get thanked for what I do in the house, watch out. Because I needed that appreciation. It was my idol. I needed that recognition at work, at school, on the football field. And when I didn't get it, my heart comes out and it's not pretty. My heart was in the wrong place. Or maybe just that social status, Facebook, whatever else, what people think of me. Lastly, the self, just myself, right? I am the center of my life. I am the center of my thoughts. I clothe my life with myself. Our Lord's calling us out. He says, don't, that's not what it's about. Why do we live that way? And in a first world church, in a first world society, we do sometimes live pretty comfortably thinking, I'm a good person because I don't do the worst thing ever, so therefore I'm okay. And our Lord says, look twice. The church tries to call out first world Christians not to settle for mediocrity. Not to let your heart get carried away with these things. And the world says, well, I think holiness is a little too radical. Let me just settle for this middle ground. If you really want to get my attention, I mean, if only somebody would come back from the dead, maybe then we would believe. What's fascinating is that in this episode with Jesus, he's putting in the words of the rich man, go warn society. They'll listen if you just warn them. If someone's living too comfortably, why don't you warn them, God? Why don't you send Lazarus back from the dead? Then my brothers will believe. Then they'll change their ways. Then they'll put faith first, their neighbor second, and themselves last. Y'all know what happens, right? What happened to Lazarus? He rose from the dead. Jesus brought him back from the dead. It's funny because he said, no other sign will be given but the sign of Jonah in the Old Testament. But he still did it. He still rose, of all people, Lazarus from the dead. And it still wasn't enough. They still crucified the Lord. And then what did he do? We live in a post-resurrection society. In other words, Jesus did rise from the dead. Raise your hand if you still struggle with all those idols that we listed, right? My selfishness, my ego, my wealth, my mediocrity, and my faith. What more does it take? Even if someone were to rise from the dead, still, our hearts are that stubborn sometimes. It's a season of Lent. It's 40 days, just to kind of maybe give a shot in the arm what we're supposed to be doing throughout the year, but a season to reinvigorate my faith. What does it matter that someone rose from the dead? What does it matter to me that all of Jesus' promises were confirmed after he died and rose from the dead? Does my life change because of it or not? So we have 32-ish more days to really dig deep, to dig our heels in and say, slow down, stop, pause. Lord, you did rise from the dead. Do I even care? And does it influence, first, how I look at you, second, how I look at myself, and third, how I look at others? And do I get the order right to put you first, others second, and myself, who you have loved so much, last the way you put yourself last, O God? Can I live that way a little more? Can Lent be a time to challenge myself to learn from the rich man and learn from the poor man about what truly matters and what doesn't? The opening prayer kind of summarized it, and we'll finish with this. May we be found steadfast in faith, putting you first, O God, and believing in what has happened for us, and effective in our works for others. May our love be real, and may Lent be a time of great change, lasting change. Amen. Amen. Our Lady of Prompt Succor, pray for us.